Okay, I hit record. We're going to see where we're going to go. This is Tom Trimbath and Steve Smolinski with IntriguingCreativity.com.
Yes, nice to see you all, so to speak. Have a good time listening today.
Thank you
for listening. And as we always share with you, we love hearing your comments, so feel free at some point to send us any comments or thoughts that you have, because we love hearing them. And what the heck. And in the meantime, we will chat about some things that we think will be interesting to you. We'll have some humor in them,
we hope.
And what we try to do is also stick in a thing or two that will be good for helping your life, and another thing or two that might be good for helping your business, if you have a business, just to give you some things to think about and use for your own purposes to help yourself do better in life and in business.
Well, Lord knows right now we can't keep using the same old things, the same old rules, because the world of, was it April 14th, 2025, is not even like the world of April 24th or 12th, April 14th, 2024. Last year, so much has changed.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, I was just watching the comments I'm hearing from various folks, and it's kind of interesting where there's this whole idea of form versus function. Take an SUVs. SUVs are getting to be ridiculously expensive. SUVs are not going for as much as I paid for my first house. And when I bought an SUV when I had my first house, it was a sport utility vehicle. Mm-hmm. It was a utility vehicle that I could still do things with, hiking and backpacking and things like that. But it was a utility vehicle. And now some of the SUVs, there's no utility to this vehicle except hauling people around. That's called a bus. And it's not the sort of thing where you're going to want to, you know, open up the back gate, dump in a few hundred pounds of manure, and then, you know, use it the rest of the week. You've got to take a look at the way things really came about, where SUV used to be something that had more utility. Now, I wasn't going to haul around a lot of manure. I'll haul around dirt. But I look at the cars, and there's this bifurcation between folks who can't afford a cart at all because cars are just so expensive, and the other ones who are buying cars that make no sense at all, because the SUVs are not sport or utility. They're just buses.
Right.
And these aren't the folks that are hauling around anything besides other people, and frequently they're hauling around one person. You've got 4,000 pounds or 5,000 pounds hauling around one person.
Well, that's a good deal. That makes sense. I get it.
Well, if you're the one selling the SUV, it makes sense, yeah. And then, of course, with what's been happening with tariffs and things like that, I've been wondering, particularly in my neighborhood, Port Townsend is a fairly creative place. There's a lot of artists and things like that. There's also an awful lot of money, so it's an interesting balance between folks that can actually afford to fund artists, sort of.
Yeah.
But a lot of folks I'm seeing around here are giving up on cars. They're just going to e-bikes.
Oh, how about that?
And I'm wondering if that's part of the response to that, where you can no longer buy a utility vehicle that has four wheels. You can buy a utility vehicle that has two wheels.
Oh, that's interesting to think about.
Yeah, and it has been. It's been one of those things where I realize, you know, I'm not as an avid bicyclist as a lot of folks. But, you know, I rode across the United States. Go buy my book, Just Keep Pedaling. And I look at it, and I thought about, you know, the car I've got is 8 years old. It's fine. It's 8 years old. Eventually, it's going to get older. And I'd like to have an electronic car, you know, electric car. But I also realized an electric car is tens of thousands of dollars. But an e-bike has got 100 miles range sometimes, which is what e-car, you know, EVs used to have.
Yeah.
Costs a tenth as much. And maybe what I should have, of all things, is my bicycle, because I like actually being able to get a workout. But instead of having just the car, keep hanging on to the Jeep, because the Jeep is still a Jeep. It's still, you know, can go up rough roads and things like that. And yeah. Rather than getting rid of it and getting another car, to get keep the Jeep, keep the bicycle, and get an e-bike to kind of fill in that gap between the two, where I want to arrive someplace without being sweaty, and I might want to haul back groceries, but I don't need much more than that. See what I'm getting at?
You've got a lot of interesting thoughts here today about traveling.
Well, and I think it's going to become much more of an issue, because I think, and I'm not sure, but I'm thinking that I know tariffs are terrible things for cars.
Tariffs are terrible things for everybody.
But I'm wondering if it's as big a deal on a bicycle, because there are fewer components. One of the problems with cars is they have so many components that there's so many countries that are involved. And you're limited on a bicycle. You're limited to how many components you can have. It's only such a big thing. And the most complex thing in a car is the engine. And the most complex thing on a bicycle is the person. The person's already taken care of. There's no tariff there.
Yeah. The person is a given, and it is what it is, yeah. Right?
Well, are you seeing e-bikes in your neighborhood?
E-bikes. Have I seen e-bikes in my neighborhood? Well, that's kind of interesting. Where I am, my house happens to be in a place where the closest other houses to where I am, it's a pretty rural area, the closest neighbor other houses to where I am, there's two of them, and they're pretty close, very close actually, and the families that own those two houses happen to have a bunch of kids, little kids.
Okay.
And for reasons I don't understand, maybe there's a reason for this, or maybe this is just one of those things that happens. There's about 10 or maybe 12 of these little kids, and they're pretty young, and they're all girls. So I have a herd of little girls playing all the time on the road, the little tiny road that goes past where my house is.
Yeah.
Because it's a rural place and it's not very busy and there's not all that many people around there, they can go out on this little rural street, which is actually my street, and play and stuff, and just not worry about anybody hitting them.
Right.
Only people that are going to be on it are the people who live around there, and they all know about being careful and not hitting the kids and stuff like that. So, but it's fascinating to me because they're all little girls. And they are the loudest little girls. So it is not uncommon in the morning,
if
it's a nice day, that I look out the window and there's a bunch of these little girls. Maybe they're throwing a ball around a little bit, or maybe they're just running around.
Uh-huh.
But they are all always screaming at the top of your lungs. It is unbelievable how loud these little girls can be.
We evolved to make that work.
And if you're in the house, you can still hear them screaming like that. That's right. And the parents don't seem to care about that. They just are like,
Well,
okay,
the parents are
wave.
glad the kids are making the noise outside rather than inside, you know.
They just wave at them if they go by or something, right? And the kids, the little girls all like me because when I'm out and I see them, I always wave to them. Just wave. I don't even have to say anything. I just wave to them. And they love getting waved to, so they like me and they say hello back to me, however. So they're kind of an intriguing little fun thing that happens around the house, and I like it. What the hell? They're fun. They're enthusiastic, and they like when the people that have dogs walk by. Then they can see the dogs, and they can get yelled at by the people that have the big dogs that are yelling at them to stay away, stay away, stay away. The dogs, don't let dogs bite you. And I'm an old dog guy. I know lots about dogs, so no dogs ever bother me. They always come up to me and put their jaw out so that I'll pet them, And most of the people with the big dogs, if they see me walking over when they have a dog, they start doing their be careful routine. And then when I get close to the dog, they get crazed in their routine. And then I walk up with my hand out and the dog's mouth is open and I walk right up to the dog because I know what the dog is going to do is the dog is going to lick my hand. And the dog always licks their hand. Always. If you're calm and the dog knows that you're a dog person, somehow they can tell that you're a dog person. I don't know how they do that. And so people have been screaming at me. They're worried to death. I'm gonna get mugged by these dogs. I have never ever been bitten by a dog in my whole life, and I do this. I've been doing this for years, and the kids love it. They just go fantastic over me and the dog standing there with the people yelling at us, right? These little girls, I gotta give them a lot of credit. They have a fantastic sense of humor about stuff. That's like the dogs and the people, are they going to kill each other? Let's watch this and scream at them and have a good time.
But the thing you're describing is kind of what I was getting at. I'm not explicitly at this point, but
But
what you just
there's
described, which is a bunch of kids who are playing, there's no screens involved. There's no
no
electronics
screen.
involved. The people are out walking their dogs, which is, it's a
There
it's a
are there is there occasionally there are electronics involved, and the reason that there are occasionally electronics involved, which is what got me thinking about this when I first started saying something, was what you said, is that some of the kids, or I guess probably their parents, are the ones who actually got these things, but the kids are the ones who use them. Have electric bicycles,
Yeah, that's where
and
you
they come out with their electric bicycles and they
go.
race all over the road with each other, screaming at each other. I guess that's the stay away from me sound they use or something. And I've spent quite a bit of time watching them because it's really a riot to watch them do this, the way that they handle the bikes and are careful about not banging into each other if there's a couple of them out at the same time and each has their own bike, And I'm kind of fascinated by that the parents bought all these electric bikes for these kids and they're out there and the parents aren't really doing anything with them. They might see a parent standing in front of the house watching a little bit. But they're not taking care of the kids. They're not watching the kids really. They're just sort of being there,
Well, that's no different than when I was a
What?
kid.
And I've never seen any of the kids get banged up or got hit by a bike or anything like that. It's never happened. I've never seen any of them get hurt. So it's really the kind of thing that you do kind of wonder about. How does this whole thing work really? And it works by itself. It just happens, and everybody is okay. Everybody has a good time. Eventually a parent will come out and start waving at them, which I guess means it's dinner time, because they all know it's time to like hop up and go over, and then they disappear for a while. Then later, after it gets a little later in the day, then the parents come out in about the same place, and the parents come out with some toys for the kids, and then it becomes the parents and the girls throwing balls around at each other.
Oh, that's good to
And
hear.
yeah, but it's completely separate from the kids doing it,
Oh,
right?
sure, that makes sense.
Yeah, and they're doing it, and so I like it. And so whenever a ball gets loose, I pick up the ball and I throw it back.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really the reason why I became a favorite person of the kids, that they like to come over and say hello to me when they see me, is because I throw the ball to
Right.
them. And they don't have to go looking for it in some weird place, because I just take care of that for them.
Yeah.
Put over where they can get it easier.
Yeah.
And
The thing I'm loving the fact that that's so counter to the common narrative right now, because the common narrative right now is that kids are all inside playing on video games and scrolling whatever they can on the internet to get past the firewalls that mom and dad put up. And kids still will be kids. If you give them the opportunity, kids will still be kids.
And they're little kids, as I said, but they're fascinating to watch. They've got their little electric bike things. I think they're bikes, some kind of little electric vehicles, and they're screaming to scare everybody within 500 miles of them, and they're having a great fun, and all the people that are around are enjoying the little scene that's going on. Everybody that sees it stops and watches for a while,
And I,
because it's just we've got this little thing going on here.
I'm sure that the screaming kids is thousands or if not hundreds of thousands of years old. But the other kind of the not just the e-bike, but there's the, we used to have pedal cars. I don't know if you ever saw one, if you ever had one. But a kid could fit inside this little metal thing, and there are little pedals, and you could pedal the thing around. It was, yeah. Well, they don't do that anymore. What they have is they actually have their own e-cars. And whenever I look at that, I'm just going, "Oh God, this is an obesity epidemic in the process." You're teaching a 4-year-old how not to walk. You're teaching a 4-year-old to just sit there and just watch the world go by. It's like, no, get out of the car.
Yes, I hear you. Well, that's why I like it, that they actually have toys and stuff that they use outside, because they're getting a lot of exercise, because they never stop moving when they're playing with the toys, right?
Right.
They're just fast walking, or they're running around,
What they're
or
doing
they're
has no label in it in their own head. They're just being what they are.
just they're just getting some exercise as they're having fun out there on the yard,
It'd be interesting to find out when does within a child's mind, and this is kind of like a sociology thing or a psychology thing, when in a child's mind does it go from play to exercise? Because play is something that's fun. Exercise is something that you have to do. You might enjoy it, but you have to do it. But because I know that right now, I do an awful lot of exercise. I don't do much play. Now, I enjoy what I'm doing, but it's not play. When I'm hiking, it is exercise and I enjoy it. But there's that glee. I'm not going to go walking down the trail going, "Yay!" hey, like a little kid.
See, you're making a big mistake. If you went walking down the trail and you made that noise that you just made, you would have 12 or 14 little girls following you and screaming at you in great joy. You would
I'm
be
pretty
a
sure.
hit.
I'm
You
pretty
would
sure. I'm pretty sure what I would have is a 911 chopper coming in to find out what's wrong with me and to
Oh, well, that might happen
carry
too. But so you need to be careful about those things.
Yeah, because where I'm hiking, there are very few, well, there's very few people, let alone,
Where I go out hiking, there's very few people too. There's lots of hills and things like that, but not so many people.
And it is interesting to go on a hike now and see how many folks do that classic Instagram thing where they're watching the world through their camera, through their phone. So they're walking and they won't look at the view. Well, they will. But they're also as likely to have the camera up taking a recording of the view as they're walking along. There's always got to be like this electronic interface that legitimizes.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate it. Since I began to be a real hiker, on the real big places you can go hiking and stuff, I never ever took anything with me that made any kind of noise or that took pictures or anything. I always looked at it that part of taking the hike is being out there in the wilds and enjoying the wilds and getting the exercise that you get and getting your body in shape. But also, one of the things that is really good for you as a person is to use your subconscious a lot with no other thing happening, because your subconscious is part of your body that helps your brain work better. And it helps things like that. And so I would always do it with the premise that I was working my subconscious, and that my subconscious was doing these good things for my body. And then I saw some research talking about it, and it seems that your subconscious is even more good for your body than I realized it was.
Oh,
When
yeah.
you just have your subconscious operating without all the other junk going on, so that your body is dealing with your subconscious. Because if all the other junk is operating, your subconscious doesn't do what it does. Your subconscious only comes on when all the other stuff goes away. That's the way your subconscious works. Subconscious is pretty smart.
Oh yeah, well that's where the wisdom is.
It's interesting. So it's been so anyway, so I always was ahead of the tribe about that, not taking all the pictures and doing this stuff, but I always found that it was good exercise and it made me feel really good, and my subconscious taught me a bunch of stuff. Because a lot of things happen through your subconscious. If you're paying attention, you'll notice that when you're out like that with your unconscious, you start to notice things happening that you never noticed before, because your subconscious is picking them up
Right.
and they're showing, they're giving them to you. And the creative juices of your body are run by your subconscious. So the more that you don't do other things and you just go out and let your subconscious run, the more creative you become as a person. And if you talk to people that are artists, they will tell you this. They will tell you that they do these things with their subconscious because that's how the best ideas come to them, when they're just out not doing anything except getting their subconscious running. And they will tell you that that's where the best ideas for the artists come from. And it's where the best ideas come from scientists too, will tell you that. When they're out thinking up, trying to think up some great new product or great new idea, they do the best thing that they can do to get their subconscious running at full bore, with no other sounds bothering them, no other noise bothering them. You know, they could be walking or just, you know, strolling a little bit or something, but that gets your subconscious doing. And that's really kind of fascinating to me, to think that part of your body, which mostly is just sort of doing nothing, it just sort of sits there, and then all of a sudden when it turns on, it unreleases this creative energy that just hammers your body.
Well, I suspect that it's actually active all the time. It's just we haven't figured out, we only occasionally know how to tap into it.
Well, that could be too. That could be. But the key part of it is that the other stuff isn't getting in the way, is I think what it is.
Right.
But it is interesting, because if you know anybody who's a good artist or something, and you ask them about it, there's a really high chance that they'll say, oh yeah, I always do these things to get my subconscious going. That's where my best ideas always happen, when that's going, when the subconscious is going.
So right? This is why I just got done rereading a book called The Tao of Poo, which for those of folks who aren't familiar, the Tao Te Ching is kind of on the same level as Confucius and Buddha for Chinese philosophies. And one of the things that they say is, well, it's basically the original go-with-the-flow religion. It's not really a religion, but it works that way. But yeah. The idea being that it is so easy to get in your own way by overthinking what's going on. So what I do, and I do this, and I know that I grant, well, this goes back to the idea of your clarity breaks, which is one I'm planning on doing probably in the next week or two. Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out, we're going to go for like 3 or 4 days, and I know that with everything that's going on in the world right now, my subconscious is working on overload.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, headaches are there, and to me that's kind of going, okay, so my subconscious is trying to sort some things out. It's going to benefit me. I'm going to feel healthier if I give it some time to just work through stuff, and it's going to look like me sitting still doing nothing.
Yeah.
But what it's really happening is my brain is just churning and churning and churning. What I have found is I've gotten older, I've gotten better at kind of going, okay, so that's what's going on. And what I've found is if I sit there for like an hour and a half, you know, just on a normal day, if I have an hour and a half off, that's great. But if I can sit there for an hour and a half, I'll find the next half hour, I've gotten like 3 hours worth of tasks done, because my brain has sorted through the crap and has come down to, this is the one that's important, this is the one you can do right now. And sometimes it's as simple as, oh, so, you know, weeding the yard was so much easier because I could have this tool and this is the weather to do it in. Or I'll find myself going, I have to write this down, and that's where the next chapter for the book comes, or something like that.
Yep.
But just sitting still does not mean you're not working.
Sitting still is an amazing thing to do, to just sit still. There's a couple of books out there that are based on explaining to people the whole science of sitting still and what we're talking about, but with a more of a scientific feel to it, because it was written by somebody that's that kind of a person that knows how to write it that way.
Yeah,
very interesting stuff. Yeah, I've looked at it a couple times. fascinates me.
Well, and as we're saying this, what I'm realizing is, as weird as things are right now, I can't be the only one that's got this going on. And trying to react to every single tweet is going to just eat up all your time just trying to keep up on what's the next tweet as you're responding to this one. What's the next one? What's the next one? Where fundamentally the system has not changed. Yes, I mean, there are tragedies and there are injustices and everything else that's going on. But the big issue is we're watching an oligarchy come to birth.
Yes.
We're going to have mayhem all over the place. So for me, what I want to do is I want to take the step back and go, okay, forget about any individual tariff or things like that, or the poor penguins, which I'm just loving what the Canadians are doing with the parody shows, the parody videos. But what I need to do is I need to go back and go, if we're actually coming into an oligarchy, what do I do? How do I adjust to that? Because that is not as simple as, no, the marches are phenomenal, but the march is not going to take down an oligarchy. March is not going to help me survive an oligarchy. What is going to help me survive an oligarchy? And that's an open-ended question. I don't have the answer to it yet, except for, that this is the time to have acreage, chicken, and a wood stove. You know, it's...
Yeah. This is an interesting time to think about what is the stuff that you want to have available with the bad stuff going on around you that you need to be prepared for.
Yeah, because it's so easy to get depressed right now, and it's so easy to just go, why should I do anything? It's all going to pieces, and it's kind of like, well, humans have survived this many hundreds of thousands of years because we've always found some way. I'm not always saying it's a positive thing that we're going through. We're not. We're not going through something that's positive. We're going through something that's ugly.
Yep.
And yet, aside from nuclear winter, there's almost always a way through. And you have to just kind of... And I think the solutions start on a personal level. What will work for me? And if I can find something that works for me, can I show that to folks and see if it works for them?
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's not working for me, can I look around at my other friends and see what's working for them? There's a friend of mine that he's building his own house. He's got acreage with an orchard and veggie gardens. He's got wood because, you know, the forests around here, forests are everywhere. He's got all these various things. I think if he had solar power, he would effectively be able to go off grid, ignore the news for a whole week, and come out a healthier man.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Can't do that in a tiny house.
No, not in a tiny house. Not in a tiny house.
At least not until I put it on an acreage.
Yeah. Well, I like that I have a couple of guys that used to be clients that live not too far from me. And they're big hikers.
Yeah.
And they realized that I was having the difficulties that I've been having, and that I'm a hiker, big walker, hiker. And that they thought it would be fun to take me out with them. So I got a different kind of a hiking thing than just going out by myself, which is what I had been doing, right?
Right. Yeah.
And so they started this a while ago, and now they do it regularly. I think we're doing it again next week. And one of them is the boss man. I'm not exactly sure how that came about, but he seems to be the one that knows where every trail is that you can hike on anywhere within a pretty big radius of where we are.
Right.
And he's got a little gadget for those of you that are hikers and don't know about this gadget. I'm going to take a minute here and explain it to you. It's a really wonder gadget. It's a little teeny gadget thing that you can plug into your your phone or any little thing that you have with you, your phone. I think they usually have it on their phone.
Yeah.
It's a little teeny gadget thing, and it's set up so that it has a map inside it that knows every single place you can hike within a huge area.
Mm-hmm.
And so you find a place where you want to go hike. Say you drive somewhere and you park your car. And when you park your car, there's a little button, and you hit the little button on this thing, and that marks where you parked your car. And then you go off, and you can use the little map thing that it has, and it will show you sort of where you should go to get the best walking path to go on. And so you follow the path, and then when you're done walking and you want to get back, or you left that path and just went hiking on your own, and you want to get back to your car and go home, you hit the other button on this thing, and it automatically takes you back to your car. So you never have to worry about where your car is or your car got lost when you're hiking or something.
Right.
It takes you back. And it's just fascinating, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's a little thing, you know. It's not like it's not a big deal to take this with you. And one of the guys got this gadget, which I guess that's what made him the boss. So, because he always picks the trails, and gets that all laid out, and he sends the other two of us a little note about the day that he thinks is the day that he would like to do this. Because it takes a while, because we're out hiking for a good bit of the day, and then we stop somewhere and get some lunch or some kind of snack or something, and then usually do a little more hiking on the way back. So, you know, it's a big trip. And so he picks it the day that he figured is the best day to do it. Not sure how he picks the day. Obviously, it's a day that's not pouring rain or something, but
Right. Somehow
he picks the day. And then he tells us, this is the day that I think is the best day. If you guys are available, let's do it this day. And here's when we should meet. And usually he picks something and we all say okay. I don't know how he does it. He just manages to get okay days for all three of us, right?
Okay.
Every now and then it doesn't work, and somebody says, well, how about if we do it the next day?
Right.
And then others jump in and say, you know what, the next day would work too. Let's do it the next day. So we do it the next day. But it's an amazing exercise kind of a thing, because it's a lot of walking. It's a lot of fun yakking about, like we're yakking now, about whatever we have to talk about that we think would be interesting.
Right.
And we always find some little diner place that we can stop and just grab something from the little diner place.
Uh-huh.
You know, that it's that kind of a little snack or lunch or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So we've gotten to know some people that have little diner places that we never even knew existed before. That just happen to be there, these little things that most of them are things that have been around there for a really long time, and they're now been updated a little bit.
Right.
But they're still the old diner. It's still run just like the old diner.
Oh, yeah.
With some there, it's always a woman for some reason, with some lady coming in to take care of you, who is doing the hun thing, you know.
Uh-huh.
What are you guys doing today? I'm here to take care of you. What do you want? What do you want? We have this special stuff. Rah, 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 rah. And she runs off, and, you know, And so it's a fun little event, right?
Yeah.
You get to meet this lady who's doing this whole dog and pony show for you. She's taking care of you and the food and whatever.
It's basically the same thing that the little girls are doing, but instead of screams, you end up with a diner and maybe a beer.
Right. That's exactly right. And a couple of the guys like to smoke a cigar sometimes. So there's actually where we tend to get out, there are two different really fancy
food
bar places.
Oh, okay,
of the
yeah.
But with the what do you call it?
I don't know, because on the hiking trails that I'm on,
talking on what they call those kinds of things, those big cigar things.
Humidors?
No, the cigars are big and they're fancy and they're really expensive, and they have buildings for them. You go in the building and there's a bunch of guys in there smoking the cigars.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. And, yeah.
And anyway, so we wind up sometimes spending a little bit of time in the cigar places. And one of the things that most fascinated me about the cigar places, I'm not a cigar person. I've never smoked anything, so I'm not a smoker at all. The other guys are really into cigars, so they'll do a couple cigars if they can in a row while we're sitting there and they're sitting there smoking. I'm just like hanging out,
right.
talking to the lady, watching her doing whatever, you know. And when they first invited me to do this with them, I said, well, I don't do that. I'm not going to go and sit in a smoky, terrible, place with you guys for some significant period of time, and then have to go back home, and the first thing that Laura's going to say to me is, why do you smell like that?
Well, I can't blame Laura for making a comment, if nothing else.
Yeah, they said to me, Steve, they said, have faith. You know us. Would we take you, or would we go ourselves to a place that smelled like you're describing, and it was so strong that when we went home, we would get the same yell at us that you just described you getting? No, we wouldn't do that. So come with us, and I guarantee you there will be no smell in this place. I said, wait a second. You told me it's going to be filled with people smoking cigars, big fancy cigars. You guys are going to have them. How is that possible? They said, well, you're going to see the miracle of science at work here. This is a super fancy, expensive place.
Oh, the air filtration systems? Yeah.
The air filtration system that they put in this place completely sucks up 100% of the smoke. You'll be in here, you won't smell a single teeny little bit of smoke for the whole amount of time that we sit here and talk and we smoke, that smokers smoke, and you sit there and, you know, have a drink or something while we're smoking. And I got to tell you, I got out the first time I was there. I got out, I went in, I walked around, there was no smoke. Then I was there in the place during the whole smoking thing going on, and there was my crew of people all with their cigars, and there was a bunch of other people that had just come in to use the place, I guess. They weren't, had nothing to do with us. They were just the daily visitors, I
sure.
guess. And they were smoking away. And I got up and went out and thinking to myself, this is unbelievable. The quality of this filtration system must have cost them a fortune, because it's a big thing that they have to do this. You know, this isn't like a little thing you carry. It's a big thing that they've got mounted all over the place to filter.
But, you know, what you just described is the sort of place to just do that sort of thing where you just sit there and for the time it takes to smoke a cigar, just be quiet and just let your mind wander. For me, that's because what I was doing, the cocktail version of that back when I had my house with the, you know, in on Whidbey Island, nice view, nice day.
Yep.
I'd sit on the front porch, and sometimes if I'd been working too hard, I would purposely mix myself a cocktail. Get myself out of the work mode, not as much for having the cocktail as for the fact that I would say, I'm not going to move until I finish this cocktail. And I know that I can't guzzle it, because I know that I don't like to drink that fast. But it was a simple thing, and it was just, it's the sort of thing that if I was just sitting out there alone, you get one reaction to somebody who may be walking on by, get a completely different one if you're sitting out there with a gin and tonic.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yep.
And yeah, so part of that was to get me to sit still, and part of that was to convey emotion to them as well, that, you know, say hello or come on, be welcome to come on up and have a conversation or something like that. It still used to happen in that neighborhood.
That was a very friendly place.
It was. And as a matter of fact, I've been out of there for 11 months now. Got one more month and I'll be here. I've been here for a year.
I miss the fact that I haven't been able to get there at all since I left.
Well, if you start walking now.
Eventually I'll get there. I get it.
A friend of mine walked across the United States. This is before I ever met him, but he walked across the United States, and I think he ended up with taking 2 years and getting a wife along the way.
How's that? Interesting.
Yeah, well, the talk about trying new approaches to your life and finding out what's going to work and what's not. And lo and behold, he ended up writing a book about the whole thing and ended up with a family. You know, and he was just trying to walk across the United States.
So that was kind of a interesting success to talk about when he got back.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And that's the sort of thing. I think folks who are in the midst of all this stuff right now, who are trying to, and I'm doing this myself, I distract myself sometimes by just watching another video or another movie or something like that. I mean, that definitely has its place. But I feel sorry for the folks who are doing only that.
Yes.
Only. Yes. It's like folks are either only going through and doom scrolling every single social media account that they've got to watch the news, or folks are only watching something, anything, just total fiction. I don't want anything that's real. And I don't think either of those responses is as healthy as taking a step back and doing a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of that. And part of that little bit is letting your brain kind of take a breath, because these are not easy times to just take without thought and take without relaxing as well.
Yeah, you need to get yourself a place where you can just hang for a while. Just hang and forget all this other crap that's going on, and not pay attention to it, as you just said, not pay attention to all the stupid newscasts that are blasting all over the place, and what the other junk is that you see if you're looking around at the right places that you see blasting out at you.
I think part of your brain, I think part of everybody's brain is actually paying somewhat attention to the news, even if you're trying to or not. Because it's,
well, that's it.
Yeah.
No, that's it. You can't. You can't. So I'm in my house. I guess it's the would be considered the I don't know the living room maybe, the big room in the house, the big wide room in the house, the middle of the house. I guess it's a living room, something like that. Anyway, it's a big wide room. In the middle of it, I decided I was going to make myself a special place just for me.
Yeah.
Just for me. And so I got this sort of box thing. Probably a little bigger than the thing on the TV here, and I put it on the floor, and then I got a couple of other little doodads, and I put on the sides of this thing, so. And on the back of it, more so than on the sides, actually, on the back of it. And I made myself a little seating bench out of this whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's solid. It's solid material. Nothing soft and plushy about it or anything. The whole thing is just these solid blocks there. And what I do with it is I set it up so that I can put my phone can sit on it just to sit there out of the way, or you know, some other tool like that can just sit there out of the way so it doesn't get damaged or anything. And I just sit there on this thing, totally silent, totally non-moving. I just sit on it. Sometimes I pop my feet up on the bottom end just to give my feet a little extra movement or something. And I sit there, and I could sit there for quite a long time. And I just sit there. And if I'm looking from where I'm sitting on the back end, what I'm looking at is I'm looking at the far wall of the house. And in the far wall of the house, there's a pretty big window.
Oh, okay.
Sit there, and I stare out the window.
Right.
Because on the other side of the window, if you stare out the window, what you see through the window is you see some of the stuff that I mentioned earlier. You see some of the kids might come running by.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Right.
They figured out that there's this thing here that's interesting, and they go past it just to look at it. I guess they just like this weird box thing that's just there. And so they'll run around and do that. Sometimes the neighbors,
incoming voice call from
Ringo.
+1 530.
Sometimes the neighbors, dog will come running hot and bark.
So, hey, just so you know, so somebody else is talking in the background. Is that a phone or something?
+1.
Oh, okay. It's a
424.
See if you can kind of mute that for a bit. There we go. That's better.
+1 530.
I'm hearing the crosstalk. Tell you what, this might be a time to cut it off because the electronics are breaking in. Unless you can turn off that machine.
Calling me? That was weird.
Well, life is weird.
The calling must have been.
Well, that's part of the universe kind of saying, I think it's time to wrap this up.
Didn't hear anything, though.
Oh, I did. I definitely did. We got it on the record.
No, there was something there. I didn't hear what they really were saying, but anyway.
Well, it's in the recording, I'm sure. Well, sir, that's an interesting way to end it, but I think it's a convenient place to end it. So this has been Tom Trimbath and Steve Spilinski talking about whatever on intriguingcreativity.com. Anything else you want to say, Steve?
No, it just was a fun time today. Some interesting stuff we talked about, and hopefully there was a couple of things there that were of interest, maybe a little amusing to our visitor listeners today. So hello, visitor listeners. Nice to have you. And look forward to having you again as visitors. Anytime. Send us your comments. Send us your best.
Or your worst, either way.
Your worst, anything. Yes, we're pretty flexible to what we hear, what we get, what we do with it. You probably noticed that. And so, you know, we just like to keep the sound moving and people intrigued and people engaged and having a good time. Important to have a good time, right?
Here, here.
With all the crap going on in the world today, it's important to keep the good times rolling.
Thanks, folks. This brings a close to another episode of IntriguingCreativity.com. Catch you later.
Bye-bye.